Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
We have a special treat today, but before we get to that special treat, you may have noticed Pastor Matt is not here today. He's off being a father, doing his dad thing today. I think today is Macy's day to be dropped off at college. So just be praying for them. I remember that drive, the drive home for the first kiddo I dropped off. And that's a hard one. I'm sure many of you guys have experienced that before. But just be praying for them and just pray that the Lord just be good to them and be with them as they take this time away. Want to remind you have an opportunity to give today. You can do that online. You see the things on the screen here. There's also places to give, the baskets at the side of the room, and just remind you to just continue to be faithful in the giving. And I want to pray over those things, and I want to bless your finances real quick. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for how good you are, Lord Jesus, Lord. I know in my life personally, I can just testify to the fact that I've never, ever, ever been able to outgive you. And you were faithful, Lord, time and time and time again, Lord, even sometimes when I was not, you were faithful. But Lord, I just want to pray a blessing of over everyone's finances today, Lord. Pray that you just bless them, Lord, no matter where they are, Father. If they're in hard times, Lord, we ask that you would just meet them in their needs, Father. Lord, if they're in good times, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to prosper them, Lord, so they continue to be able to give to your kingdom. Lord, so grateful for this body here at St. Luke. So grateful for how they come together, Lord, and they've always been excellent givers. So I just pray that you would continue for that to be a gifting that our body has here, Lord Jesus. We pray over all those finances today, Lord Jesus. We bless you, we honor you, and we give you praise, Jesus. Amen. So we're excited that Ashley's going to be bringing the word today. And she has my favorite thing in the world set up here beside us. How many of you guys grew up in Sunday school and had flannel graphs? Man, I'm so everybody excited. This is like
my age.
I'm super geeking out about this. The first time she did it, I almost just lost it. But anyway, I'm excited. So I'm just going to turn it over to Ashley, and she's just going to bring it home.
Yeah, okay. So we are going to do things a little differently today. Basically, my sermon, I want to use that lightly, is more like an extended children's sermon. So we have the flannel graph for some visuals here. But we'll do that, and then we'll have the kiddos come up for backpack blessings. It all kind of ties together. There are clipboards outside if the kiddos need something to keep their hands busy while they're sitting. But like I said, this is basically just a little bit longer of a children's sermon today. So we're going to start with a story I think y'all all know. Like everybody in this room, I think, knows this story. Zacchaeus, right? We all know Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, okay? And so Zacchaeus climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. The thing about this story is we all focus, I think, when we're little on Zacchaeus was small and he couldn't see and he climbed up in a tree and he got to see Jesus. But one thing that I don't always think gets emphasized, and it certainly doesn't get emphasized in the song, is what kind of person Zacchaeus was. And Zacchaeus was someone who everyone knew his name, but they didn't know his name for the right reasons. And so when Jesus came and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house today," it surprised the town. It shocked the town. And as with many stories we see in the Bible, Jesus was once again going to the less desirable of the people in town. They were in Jericho, and he was not, he was known, but he was not a popular person. And so the story starts with him climbing up in a tree to see Jesus, but it ends with everyone seeing him in a different way. And so Jesus started that by looking at Zacchaeus for what he knew him to be. And what Zacchaeus was is what all of us, everyone in this room, everyone we know, everyone is a child of God. Everyone is made in the image of God, even those who are less desirable. Ephesians 1:4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." And so that's how we were made before creation, holy and blameless in the sight of God. And so if that's the case, that's how God made us, that's how Jesus sees us, is that not how we should look at others? I have a Bible study group that I've been with for many, many years. And several of the ladies are a little more mature than I am by age. And so they are empty nesters. They have kids in college. They have kids in high school. And we've been playing Bunko and doing Bible study together since I think when Cam was a baby is when it started. So for 10 years, I've gotten to learn and watch these ladies walk through middle school with their kids, high school with their kids, and I have learned some of the most valuable parenting lessons over those years. And I remember several years ago, one of the moms was talking about a problem that was going on Instagram. And her kids, this was when Instagram was newer, and her kids were doing this thing where it was like rate or date. And it was this trend, and you posted a picture of yourself, and you rated someone, would you date them? You put a number on it. I don't know. Some of y'all in this room might have been a part of that. Y'all are of that age. I am not. This is about the time that I was getting an Instagram just to follow the cheerleaders that I was coaching at school to make sure their Instagrams were on the up and up. And so she was talking about it at Bible study one night, and she was like, I just told them, there is no reason to rate anybody because they were made by God. They were made in the image of God. And who are they to put a number or say whether or not they're worthy of anything? And I was like, I'm remembering that one. I'm holding on to that one. And I thought of that when I was writing this little teaching here, because who are we to put a rating on anybody? Who are we to put a number or to say how good or how worthy someone is? Because we were all created by God, we were all made in his image, and we're all loved by Jesus. One time in high school, I remember having a moment where it was over a boy, and some friends didn't think I should be dating a certain guy, and in hindsight, with fully developed frontal lobe, they were right, but at the time, I didn't see that, and it was causing a whole lot of strife in our friendship. Good friends, friends I'd grown up with, friends I'd been friends with for a long time. And another friend, a third friend, I remember she wrote me this letter where she had like quoted some scripture, and she talked about how she was praying for all of it to work out, for the fight with my friends to work out, for the things with the guy to work out, for all of it to just work out. And I remember how much of an impact that made on me, because it was the first time where someone said, I'm praying for you, and prayed scripture over me, that it was something super relevant in my life. And I was just like, I probably do still have it in a box, but for years that letter was tucked into my Bible, the Bible I carried all through high school and all through college, and like I said, it's probably still somewhere. But it made such an impact on me for someone to flip that. It wasn't a rating. It wasn't a lesson. It wasn't a you should be doing this or a you should be doing that. Like these other people who were doing it from a loving place were giving me. It just wasn't, it was out of a place of love. It was out of a place of here's why we feel this way. Here's why we think this. Here's why we want you to hear us, because we want the very best for you. And so it went from a place of judgment to a place of love, to a place of we're praying for you. There's this scripture that's so relevant for you right now, and we want you to remember that. And I just remember the first time, that being the first time that someone did that in a way that felt so, so relevant in my life, and it's made such an impact. So I had two friends who were being friends and doing what they thought was right, and another friend who was doing this all out of love, and it just, the difference that it made for me. Instead of a finger pointing, it was a prayer. And that's ultimately what we're called to do. And I talk to your kids about this all the time. We're called to do two things, and I bet some of them could tell me. We're called to love who, guys? Kiddos? Love who? God. And love who after that? Jesus. That's what they always say, but it's not just Jesus. God and Jesus and love who? Everyone. And we say, the scripture says it's your neighbor, but we say that that means everyone. And we actually just covered this last Sunday, and we constantly talk about it. The teaching that we use, the curriculum that we use always goes back to it. Love God, love others. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love everyone. And so how do we get to this place where we do everything we do out of that commandment that's given to us? Really, that's like my whole goal in raising my kids. I talk about this all the time, is I'm trying to figure out how to balance what we believe to be right, what the world teaches our kids, and how to teach my kids all that without doing it in a judgy, finger-pointing way. How to do it in a way where we love others. That's like the whole goal and struggle of my parenting, right? But the thing is that if everyone had someone in the world who saw them like Zacchaeus did, who saw Zacchaeus like Jesus did, who saw them like Jesus sees them, then what kind of place would our world be? And that's what the goal is. So ultimately, that's our calling, is to go out every day and love God and love others. So how do we do this when we go to school and we walk the halls every day, when we're sitting in our classrooms, when maybe we're not sitting in the classrooms, maybe we're at the front of the classrooms teaching the kids? How do we do this when we're on the sales floor or in a sales meeting, on the grocery store aisle if you're doing your grocery shopping? Where do we go that can be our mission field? Every place can be where we're called to be fulfilled. A few months ago, actually, in May, I went to a funeral for a childhood friend. And so I was seeing friends that I hadn't seen in 22 years, to be specific. And a guy that I knew, we ran in like what I would call parallel groups, but not intersecting groups. He was good friends with the person I knew, and I was good friends with the person we knew, but we didn't hang out a whole lot. And we were chit-chatting, how are you? You know, we're Facebook friends. We see each other. We know we're married. We know we have kids. And so we were making some small talk over a tray of Chick-fil-A nuggets. And he said, you know, one of my favorite Cody stories involves you. And Cody was the friend who passed away. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah. He was like, it was at the first middle school dance of my seventh grade year. And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah, do you not remember this story? And I was like, no. And I mean, I am racking my brain trying to think back. He was a year younger than me, so he would have been in seventh grade. I would have been in eighth grade. And to be honest, eighth grade year is not the pinnacle of my Jesus, showing Jesus's love moments, okay? Eighth grade is just not. I was a 13-year-old girl who wasn't always the kindest. And again, fully frontal lobe developed now, I can look back on that and see the mistakes I made and know what I did wrong there. But he starts to tell this story, and I'm panicking. I'm so afraid he is about to tell me that I did something not super nice to him. I'm really starting to get afraid that I was, like, I remember as he's telling me this, my heart is racing, and I'm like, please, please, please let it be that I did something nice. Please let me have been nice to him, please. And so he proceeds to tell this story about how it was a few weeks into school starting. He was a new kid in school. He moved to our school in seventh grade. I didn't even know that about him, that he moved to our school in seventh grade and that he was new. And he was sitting at the dance, and I should mention that this particular gentleman is very Zacchaeus-sized. He's not very tall, even still as an adult. And so I can only assume that as a 12-year-old boy, he was also very small. And so he was wanting to dance with someone, but he was new. He was shorter than all the girls. He didn't know anybody. And so our mutual friend said, hold on, I'll be right back. And apparently he came and got me, who I'm sure I was on another side of the room, eyeing whoever I wanted to dance with and was waiting for to come ask me to dance. Probably not even paying attention to this all going on, but that friend came and got me and said, hey, I need you to come do me a favor. And drug me is the word that Carlos used, drug me over and said, hey, dance with my friend Carlos. And as he's telling me the story, this is when, I mean, like, I'm fairly certain my blood pressure was probably through the roof at this point. And he's like, and you did. And you made small talk with me the whole time. And you didn't act like you were forced to be there. You didn't act like you were waiting for the song to be over. You just danced with me. And you chatted with me. And you were just so nice and so kind. And I was like, oh, okay, good. Because I was panicking. I still don't, even as he's telling me this story, I still don't remember this happening. And he was like, it just meant so much that an older girl came over and was nice to me and was kind to me and talked to me and treated me like I was, you know, someone right there who didn't even know anybody. And it did not even obviously leave a mark on my radar. That is not a memory I have of, I remember the dance he's talking about, but I don't remember that happening even with the reminders. But it meant something to him. And I am just so thankful that I chose to see his words, the new short kid at the school, as someone who was worthy of giving three and a half minutes to. Because apparently 22 years later, that was really in middle school, so even four more than that, 26 years later, that meant something to him. The calling is clear. We're told, go and make disciples. But this starts with going and loving others. Okay, it's in red in Matthew 28:19. It's not optional. This is what we are called to do. But we can't make disciples without loving everybody first. And so we don't have to do this on our own. We don't have to find it in ourselves. I probably didn't in that moment in the middle school cafeteria. But if we keep reading, still in red, it says, and surely I am with you. Jesus is there to help us do this. He's there. It's our calling, but he's there to walk us through this. He's there to, he gave us amazing examples in the Bible to show us how to love others, but he's there to help us walk that every single day. We can't do it through ourselves. We can only do it through him. We're called to make disciples, but we have to love first to be able to do that. Another example that was just such, so, it meant so much to me to see this on so many levels is, if you're not watching the Little League World Series right now, you're really missing the best thing in sports that happens all year long. We follow it habitually in our house and have for years. We have children who play baseball, so it means a lot. But we used to watch it even before we had kids together, Matt and I did, because it is just, it is the best form of sports in its purest form. It is kids who love a sport. They're not doing it for money. They're not doing it for attention. They're not doing anything except they worked hard and they're playing sports. And I just love all the things that come out of it. And so this week, you might have seen it. It went viral on social media. The team from Texas that actually advanced to go to Williamsport is from Pearland. And they were playing a team from Oklahoma, and it was the game to qualify to go to the Little League World Series. And so a kiddo is pitching, and he hits the batter in the helmet, and the kid goes down. A couple moments later, he pops up, and he makes it to first base. He's fine, a little shaken. He's not even crying, though. And the kid on the mound has fallen apart. He is boo-hooing. He is sobbing. And he's standing there falling apart all by himself on the pitcher's mound. And so as a baseball mom, I can say that there are two positions that I feel like are a lot more stressful than any of them. And it's being the pitcher's mom and being the catcher's mom, because those are the places where so much is riding on what your kid does. And so I'm sure that mom was sitting in the stands just wanting to go out there and hug her child. I've been on the end of the mom of the kid who's been hurt, and I've been on the end of the mom of the kid who hurt the child, and really neither one of them are a fun place to be. It's almost a similar feeling in your stomach when that happens. And so he's standing there. There's no coaches out there with him, no players out there with him, and the kid who got hurt goes to first base, takes his base, and then he goes to the mound. He, the opposing player, the one who got hit with the ball, is the first one who goes to the mound and hugs the pitcher. Then everybody follows. Then the coaches come out. Then the other players come over from the field, and they do that. That's Jesus love right there. That they called it on the social media post that went viral. It was shared 82,000 times the last time I checked. They called it the greatest moment of sportsmanship in the history of baseball. But I would call that one of the best Jesus moments in the history of baseball right there. Because that's Jesus love. He saw somebody hurting, and he did something about it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 through 6 says, "What we preach is not ourselves. For God, who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of God's glory to be displayed in the face of Christ." And that's exactly what happened here. That kid saw a need. He looked up, he took his base, and he saw someone hurting, and he went and hugged them. And it was that simple. And that's that simple to show Jesus love every day. Just looking for someone who's hurting. There's a guy named Reggie Joyner. He's a preacher, and he's a curriculum writer, and he does a lot of things. One of his sayings is, "You can't be personal with a crowd. You can only be personal with a person." And that day when Jesus made a loving personal connection with Zacchaeus, it didn't just change Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus's heart was changed, but the whole community's hearts were changed because it taught them how to love like Jesus, how to love those who may be undesirable, how to love those who may hurt us, how to love those who seem unlovable. And so when he changed the whole, when he loved Zacchaeus, it changed the whole community. The saying is from Luke 19 at the end of this story, when he went to Zacchaeus' house, "Salvation has come to this house today." And so we can make plans and we can talk about, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to step out. I'm going to show others love. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to do that. But a lot of times I feel like, especially for me, is we sit back and we wait for those moments to come to us. We wait for a hurting person to show up at our door or on our phone or things like that. We're not always going out and saying someone's name and saying, "Hey, you're hurting, let me help you," or, "Hey, that's not right, let me help you." And so the challenge here is for all of us, grown-ups, kids, everybody who's in between, okay, is to be on the lookout, be on the, you know, put it on your radar. Where can you go out and call someone's name and make a difference to show them some Jesus-like love? We don't have to wait for it to show up on our doorstep. The timing for Jesus actually probably wasn't ideal. Like I said, he was traveling through Jericho. He was actually on his way to Jerusalem for what we know as Palm Sunday, for the triumphant entry. This was, if you look in your Bibles in Luke, it's just a few chapters over, and it was as he was on his way to go fulfill prophecy. And he knew that he was about to go die to save the world, but he also stopped while he was on that road to save Zacchaeus. And so I think if there's nothing else that can't show us is there's never the right time. Like I said, in that middle school dance, I probably had my eyes on someone else and not the short new kid, Carlos. But I took 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And I know it's that long because he even remembered what song it was that we danced to. So we can stop. If Jesus can stop on the way to save the world, we can stop in our daily lives to show others love. There's a book I recently read called Well-Watered Women. It's written by Gretchen Saffels, and honestly, I recommend it to any females. It's an amazing book. But one of the things that she closes the book with is a quote that says, "Not a moment goes by that doesn't have eternal worth. Today's decisions affect tomorrow's destination. Today's faithfulness affects tomorrow's fruitfulness. Today's investment affects tomorrow's blooms." And that's the closing of the book. And I just think that we never really know the impact that one of our small actions might have. Jesus telling Zacchaeus to come out of the tree, writing a letter to a friend, telling them you're praying for them, doing it out of a place of love rather than finger pointing, saying yes to someone when you don't really want to or when it's not convenient for you. Taking those moments to slow down and see. We're equipped to do this everywhere we go, every day. We can start. We can do it right now. We don't have to wait until the perfect moment is handed to us. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5 says, "Jesus Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ." So we don't have to pray huge, long prayers for days and days about these moments to make them happen. We just have to stop, recognize the moment, and start showing that love to others. I'm going to pray for us. Parents, if you have any kiddos in the nursery that you want to run and go grab, we are going to do the backpack blessings next. And then we'll have everybody come up. Lord, thank you for these moments, God, that you give us to show your love, Lord. Help us to recognize these, Lord. Help us to realize that these don't have to be big, huge moments. They just have to be small, small moments where we take the time to show your love to others, God. Lord, help us to feel the confidence that you give us to start now and not wait, to not be timid, but to just step out in faith and to show your love to everyone we encounter, everywhere that may be, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.